is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere else you can find podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us, you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, it's the episode we've all been waiting for. Bulls predictions.
It's like a holiday for us.
We've been teasing it for so long, we're finally coming through.
It's one of those, though, that not only for us, but we had to give the listeners time as well to come up with the correct amount of spice or seasoning on these. We don't want flaming hot takes, you know what I mean?
We don't want the Bulls
are going to... We don't want lame takes.
We don't want the Bulls are going to make the playoffs, because that's just not going to happen.
Exactly. We want something in the middle that it could reasonably happen, maybe provide some hope, enjoyment, or twisted entertainment in various ways of what we're going to predict here. So, Sean and I gave it time. We each have 5 bold predictions. We will read off and... assess an array of predictions from readers as well.
Absolutely.
But yes, we can start by alternating now. So I will throw it to you for the first bold prediction of the 2017-18 basketball calendar season, basically. So this doesn't have to end on April 14th or 15th when the Bulls season ends. It can end at the end of the NBA calendar year, which is like June 30th. You can look ahead to next summer, too.
Well, that's good, because I have it ending in the middle of May when the Bulls get to the Eastern Conference. I'm just kidding.
Incorrect.
I'm just kidding. I do not think the Bulls are going to make the Eastern Conference final.
What do you got? Number one.
December 4th, when the Cavs come through, Dwayne Wade will get a tribute video.
Ooh. You think?
He's from Chicago. He did a lot in the community. Powell got a tribute video last year.
Powell's
even if it was
here,
like a little 2-second thing, he got a tribute video.
Okay, I need you to lean into this tribute video a little more. Like, I need it to be at least like a minute long then.
Yeah, it's gonna be. It might recycle the Chance the Rapper song they used for the Derek and Joe one.
Well, I was gonna say, what music will they underlay with it?
What's like the soundtrack of whatever Gabrielle Union's TV show is?
We'll have to look that up. I thought you were going to say, on December 4th, that not only will they play the tribute video, but then the Bulls will go out and beat the Cavs, because Fred Hoiberg always beats the Cavs.
Well, stay tuned.
Oh, okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
But so, Dwayne Wade tribute video. Powell got one. Kirk Heinrich has gotten two. Dwayne Wade's a Hall of Famer.
Who has not gotten one?
Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau did not get one. Jimmy Butler should get one when he comes back.
I would hope Jimmy Butler will get one.
Okay. There you have it. I'm just going to cut to the chase. The reality, the cold bucket of water on your face that is the Bulls rebuild. The Bulls are going to start 2-18.
That's a lot of losses.
I have them at 2-18. That's 5 games in October. There are 15 games in November. They are without Zach LaVine, who is their best player, their biggest reason for hope. Lauri Markkanen will be a lot better on April 1st than he will be on October 19th when they open the season. A lot of these young players are going to be better at the end of the year than the start of the year. These guys, say all you want about the culture that they had this summer, they need a lot of game action before they figure out what each other does on the floor. And I'm looking at this schedule early, and the only games that I even like see kind of as winnable are Hawks at home. There's one against the Pacers at home. The Suns at home in late November. And look, they have other home games too, like against the Hornets, the Heat, the Thunder, the Spurs in those first 20 games of the season. I don't see them winning those, though. This includes the West Coast trip to Phoenix, to L.A., and look, it's not a 6-7 game road trip
right
this year, as long with the circus trip being gone and all that stuff. But it's still a 4-game trip out west. After that, there's still a game at Denver. They have a road game at the Spurs. They have a road game in Oklahoma City that's not part of that West Coast road trip. So I think you're just going to be slammed with it right away. When you look at the standings, you're like, 6-14, 5-15, 2-18. there are the Bulls at the end of November. And that's about the time when Zach LaVine might be cleared to return to the floor for game action. We expect him, obviously, before then, to come back for practice and be cleared for contact and practice activities. But by the time he works up to game shape, and like, look, the Bulls gave up 44 points. They got outscored 44-11 in the fourth quarter against the Mavs in a preseason game. I don't care who's on the floor.
Especially
that,
when they
that gave, has 2-18 potential written all over.
Especially they up, you know, one night after they gave up 46 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
To New Orleans.
And we'll get to defense soon as well. But 2-18, my first bold prediction. What do you got next?
Sort of piggybacking on the December 4th Dwayne Wade tribute video, the Bulls will once again go 4-0 against the Cavs this season.
What?
I think they're going to go 4-0 against the Cavs.
What?
Because they always go 4-0 against the Cavs.
I thought you said no hot takes.
It's not a hot take.
They're 7-1, I believe, in the Hoiberg era against the Cavs, yeah. I think, if I have it correct off the
would
top.
Would it be the Bulls if they didn't do something like that?
Well, okay, do you think... Well, the NBA new rules stipulate that you can't rest stars on the road unless they have a legitimate injury or you're subject to a fine of, like, $100,000. I can see the Cavs resting LeBron and the boys at home and not taking the Bulls seriously when they're at the queue in Cleveland. They come to Chicago. LeBron has to play. Look, LeBron is never hurt, first of all. The Cavs are going to have to make up injuries this year to get him his rest. So, like, they will claim that LeBron sprained his ankle in practice on a Tuesday if they don't want him to play on a Friday. You know what I mean? Like, and it can be a BS excuse. But
the young guys are going to be motivated to beat Wade after kind of the way that last season went.
Oh, you think there's going to be a little behind the scenes
sniping? That's what I'm going with. Once, you know, once LaVine comes back, you know, the first one is going to be before he's back. But after that, he could be back for the other three.
This is, I think, the boldest prediction anyone's made.
I think it might be.
Dating back to our storied history of this being our second year of bold predictions. Okay, that was certainly bold. I have another one. Let's go on the note of defense while we're at it.
Okay.
This is a little specific, but it just also provided a range of what I thought was kind of possible, and then I went through some numbers and looking at some cutoff points. I think the Bulls are going to give up 112.5 points per game on average this year.
So you're cutting down the 122-point plan.
Yeah, the 122-point plan is something you aim for, but I don't think it's one of those, shoot for the moon, you'll land amongst the stars type things. This is what I'm going for here.
112 points a game should still be enough to get you the worst record of the league.
112.5 points per game. Specific here.
Why the half?
Because that would be the second most points allowed per game for the course of an entire season in NBA history since 1992-3. So, in other words, the Bulls could have the second worst defense by points per game allowed since 1993, which is different. We know very well defensive efficiencies different from points per game allowed. And I just think the Bulls are going to play a really fast pace. They have no rim protection, but there's going to be a ton of possessions in these Bulls game. They're going to fire three-pointers, which will lend itself to long rebounds and leakouts and fast breaks for other teams. I think it's very likely Robin Lopez gets traded by season's end, so you could be looking at 30, 40 games without him, and then literally have zero rim protection, basically, by way of anyone who can, like, deter someone at the rim. Might have used literally wrong there, so fire at me on that one. But
there's
that
certainly,
would be awful. Only the Suns last year. The Suns last year allowed 113.3 points per game, and that was probably because they always tried to get Devin Booker, like, 70 points a game or, like, 50 when he's sitting on 32 with a minute left. So the Suns, they did some weird, kooky things last year. But Bulls will be the worst defensive team in the league and be one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA basically in the last 25 years.
There's certainly been nothing in these first two preseason games to make me think they're going to be any good defensively, so I don't really have any qualms with that. Going back to something you said earlier, one of my bold predictions, you said it's likely they trade Robin Lopez. One of my bold predictions is that they are not going to trade Robin Lopez at the deadline, but they will next offseason.
Okay. Why do you say that? Because obviously the team that trades for him would value two playoff runs with him more than one playoff run, but are you just thinking this is how the economics
me. I think it's going to be easier to trade him next summer when he's an expiring contract and they can take back some long-term salary with a pick. When he has a year and change left on his deal, then you're basically limiting yourself to teams that can use him right now for a playoff run. And so I think the offers that they get for him are not going to be good enough for them to decide it's worth it to get rid of him and not have, you know, the veteran leadership that he has and just that stability.
And if you look to next offseason, you're betting a little bit, I don't know if panic's the right word, but the fierce desire of some teams to maybe clear cap space. In some, well, I guess that wouldn't be for that summer, but you can kind of run the same thing back too for summer 2019 if there's more good free agents. Like, I guess my point is teams have far less money in these next two summers than they have in 2017 or 2016, obviously, and even fewer teams this time around in 2017 than 16. And then when you look ahead to 18 and 19, you're saying he could be a expiring deal and teams just want to free up some cap space.
So okay. What's your number? You're on number three for you now?
Yeah, good news. I kind of threw the negative stuff out there first.
All right.
Equal opportunity here, so 50-50.
Giving the fans some hope.
Good and bad. Jaren Grant, and again, this is coming from the resident, Cody Westerlin of Jaren Grant Island, will establish himself as the team's best point guard in a clear manner by season's end, and we will say Jaren Grant had a breakout year.
That would be such an indictment of Chris Dunn if that were to happen.
Or maybe it's just high praise for what Jaren Grant is.
So what do you think that means, though? Do you think it means that Jaren is so good that, like, even when Chris Dunn has a solid year, does it? Or is it just Chris Dunn is so bad that, like, he gets it by default? Like,
added at the end breakout year is what we consider for Jaren Grant. So
but are we calling it a breakout year by, like, NBA standards, or are we, like, grading on a curve here?
No, we're not grading on a curve. Like, we're going to look and say, wow, that was a really good year. I'm not saying, by no means am I saying, like, a Jimmy Butler most improved type breakout year.
Think Jaren Grant is going to have a Jimmy Butler season.
But I'm saying, I think he could average the second most points on the team, for example.
Behind Levine
when he comes back. And, like, look, they're going to shoot a lot of shots. And if Jaren's consistent, and we know that he's shown a few flashes of being decisive and can knock down open threes, again, I don't know how many of those he'll get, but if he can just attack the rim, be a little more decisive, a lot of points out there to be had when the Bulls are losing 112.5 to, like, 99 every night, I think he could average, like, 13 points, maybe. I mean, someone on the Bulls besides Levine has to get to, like, 13 points a game, right? Like, why can't it be Jaren Grant? He's better at shooting than Chris Dunn. He's better at ball handling
than
Chris.
That part is not debatable.
Chris Dunn's from what we see so far. The only thing we've seen from Denzel is the ability to spot up and shoot shots. Nico, who knows what happens with Nico? Nico would probably be, if the Vegas odds makers had to say the second most points per game for a Chicago Bull, I think Nico would probably have the inside track on that.
We'll get to Nico in a little bit.
But no reason not to have Jaren Grant in there. You know what I mean? So
sure.
I know I'm leaning into this. I know this is my island, and sometimes you got to double down. But that's what I'm going to do. So what do you got next?
The Bulls will lead the NBA in pace.
Okay.
Which I think will be a sign that Fred Hoiberg fully got his system in there. He's running his system. Okay. He's playing the way he wants to play. They're going to be the fastest team in the league. You know, whether they have the highest offensive efficiency or not, I don't know, because a lot of these guys can't shoot. They're not going to actually score that many points or as many points as he would like, but they're going to play fast, they're going to push the ball, they're going to get a lot of shots, they're going to miss a lot of those shots, but they're going to get a lot of shots.
My rebuttal to that would be, who's pushing the pace? Because Rondo's not on the team.
Maybe Jaren Grant is going to have his breakout year as a...
Oh, now see, now you just supported my stamp of approval.
I'm just trying to get...
The hype and seal.
I'm just trying to get you to let me get some real estate. Just like a little corner of real estate.
Hey, if Jaren Grant pushes the ball at the pace that Fred Hoiberg wants, there you go. Breakout season written all over it. Definitely starting... I mean, hey, let's be honest. A lot of the point guard playing times going for... Fred Hoiberg's mind is going to come down to who pushes the pace well and makes good decisions. So the person who does that best is probably going to get the job. And again, real early in Chris Dunn's Bulls career, but nothing we've seen in summer league or through two preseason games suggests he's great at dribbling or shooting. I guess the shooting part doesn't matter so much with the pushing the pace, but to push the pace, you got to be really comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, with the ball in your hands. And he didn't look really comfortable with the ball in his hands in the pick and roll in these first couple games. I don't feel like I've gotten a good enough look at him in transition to judge, but it's kind of in the same realm. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't handle it in the half court deliberately, I don't know how well you're going to do in transition. So, again, that point guard competition, I know it's two preseason games, but it feels like it's more open than we thought, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
Jerry Grant has looked significantly better than Chris Dunn through the first two seasons.
I don't know that it's shame on... You can say shame on us in the media for assuming that Chris Dunn had the inside track to that. But they traded away Jimmy Butler, and he was a foundational piece of it, so I'm not going to regret writing any of it.
No.
Okay, just so you know. But,
no, that's what we thought.
It's, like you said, it could be an indictment on Dunn as well. But that, I want to let you know, that pace prediction is far less hot than the sweep the Cavs one. I mean, this is, we should put this on posters, like fly it over, have the planes fly over with banners. Sean Hyken said this above the United Center before a Bulls-Cavs game.
You're going to add Old Takes Exposed with a link to this podcast?
Ooh,
is that how
yeah.
we're going to do this?
Yeah, you know the Old Takes Exposed thing?
I'm kind of out on that.
No, wait, I want to let you know, I love it. It's brilliant. I like it a ton. It cracks me up every day. I follow it. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I Google it into Twitter and make sure I check it if I'm bored. I think they would appreciate the bold predictions. Like, ours comes with a huge warning label. Like, bold predictions. You know what I mean?
Right.
We are... What Old Takes Exposed does is people who earnestly sit there and believe these things and react in the moment. Like, say what you want about us, but we've been marinating these bold predictions for 2 weeks, probably, right?
Yeah.
Like, we teased it, like, 2 weeks ago on the podcast that, well, we'll do bold predictions pretty soon. And you know what we did? We sat down the next time and we go, yeah, we haven't thought enough, we don't know enough.
These predictions aren't bold enough.
I think Old Takes Exposed, whoever's behind that account, would appreciate our takes on this. Because what they do, I think they try to make fools and idiots out of people who earnestly go in on things. You know what I mean? Like, especially the people in the heat of moment, like a trade happens and they just declare a winner and loser, you know?
And then it's like...
Why are you out, though? You're out. How can you be out on it?
I'm out on it just in the sense, I think that for the big stuff, it's great. But for the day-to-day stuff where they're just like, if there's some random game in, like, January... And somebody's like, oh, I'll bet this guy's going to go off for this many points in this random regular season game. And somebody does that. It's like, what's that? What does that accomplish? Like, who's like, wow, you really shamed me
about
this.
Everyone, okay. Twitter again, I think actually, I mean, I've talked about this with a lot of people. Twitter should be a place where you get facts and you make jokes. You know what I mean?
I'm for both of those things.
That's what I think. I do not think Twitter should ever be any outlet and tool in which you expand your beliefs on solving life's issues, because I believe the 140 character limit...
Wait, have you not gotten the 280 yet?
No.
Because I haven't either.
Okay. No, I do not have... 280's not enough either. Like, I think everything that's going on in the country is so nuanced and contextualized that we need to focus on facts and jokes on Twitter.
Right.
And I want people held accountable for those predictions and things they make on Twitter as it pertains to the lighter side, which the account does. The part about Twitter that frustrates me is people trying to solve everything that's wrong with this country in 140 characters, because everyone loses people's points and context and everything, and that frustrates me to no end. But I love people being held accountable for stupid stuff they put on Twitter. Absolutely. They should be held accountable. If I tweet before a game that I got a feeling Jaren Grant's going off for 29 tonight and he doesn't, I think that needs to be brought up on Old Takes Exposed every single time he has an offer. Every single time. Not just that night. Every single time. Like, I mean, in fairness, I should probably just tweet it out that I'm on Jaren Grant Island, and then if he has a bad year, I can be held accountable.
Make that your pinned tweet. Do you have a
pinned
tweet
right now? I'm okay. I'm accepting that I'll be held accountable for that.
So whose turn?
Love the Twitter.
Whose turn is it? I think it's your turn.
It's my turn. Okay. Little, slightly offbeat, but Bulls will have the fewest technical fouls in the league.
That's good. They're so agreeable.
They are.
There's nobody on the team who's really like a hothead.
No.
Fred Hoiberg is super mild-mannered. Like, all these guys are, like, young guys trying to make their way in the league. They all kind of know that they can't be...
I mean, will they even get to 8 technicals total?
Well, because the other thing is you have to keep in mind the Bulls are going to be playing a lot of games that are such blowouts that, like, it's not going to be worth their time to get mad about a foul.
I'm trying to think here, so...
Thibodeau isn't the coach anymore, so he's not going to get a technical during a blowout.
Look at Dwayne Wade and Jimmy were veterans, and they knew their stature in the game.
So was Rondo.
Yeah, exactly. Jimmy was a burgeoning superstar, borderline star there, and I think as he did that, I think... I mean, he'd be the first to tell you. I mean, one of the first or second or third games I covered on the Bulls beat, Jimmy got a technical for doing something. And he was like, after the game, we asked him about it. And he's like, man, I don't get texts, you know? I never get texts. That's not me. I'm from Tomball. That's not what I'm about. I'm just a hard worker. And this is very reflective and symbolic of Jimmy's just change in personality and his ascension to superstardom. And he was different, you know? And he got more technicals as he went along. And I think that's natural. But Dwayne Wade gone, like you said. Look, Taj was good for probably 8 technical fouls a year, right? 6 maybe? Something like that. And Taj isn't on the team anymore. I think that's something to keep an eye on. And like you said, it's just really agreeable. So that's just something. I'll roll in the next one, too. I think that Zach LaVine is going to average 24.6 points per game when he comes back. And look at that. Look at that. It's specific again. It's another really specific prediction. But hey, I'm into these. I just think, again, someone's got to score points for the Bulls. And he's going to be the fulcrum of the offense as soon as he comes back. And I also think that number, reason for hope, I think that's going to be number 10 in the NBA.
Yeah.
Points per game.
Yeah, so we're kind of assuming the optimistic side of like what Zach LaVine is going to look like when he comes back from the injury.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to be bad at defense. I've been reading up more stuff on everything, just a few more things. And he's usually lost on defense.
Yeah.
In his first 3 years in the NBA.
But we kind of knew that going in, that he wasn't going
to
be.
But as it pertains to what they expect out of him next year, yeah. Like, why not be optimistic? He averaged, 18 points a game, something, before his injury, as the number 3 option on the Wolves. Now he's going to be a number 1 option on a team that plays at a faster pace. And he's going to, third most athletic player in the NBA, according to the NBA GM survey, I think.
Yeah.
Go to the rim.
Even after the torn ACL, it's pretty impressive that they still voted in that. And at least it has, like...
39% on 3-pointers recently, past few seasons. So, yeah. Why can't Zach LaVine be nearly a 25-point per game scorer? I'm all in on it. I'm all in. And I think, you know what? I think people in Chicago, by year's end, are really going to like Zach LaVine, too.
Oh, hell yeah. I thought this since the day that they traded for him. Yeah, he's personality-wise, he's the kind of guy, like... At his press conference, he was like, oh, yeah, I've seen Space Jam. Like, I was a big fan of Space Jam. Like, I know that Michael Jordan exists.
Yeah, I do think he gets it a little bit. So, that's mine. Finish it off with your fifth and final.
Mine is a more long-term thing here.
Okay.
I think that Fred Hoiberg not only is not going to get fired during the season because, you know, they're rebuilding, they aren't expecting to win games. I think he is not going to get fired next offseason, and he's going to go into the next training camp in 2018 as the Bulls head coach.
That's what you said last year.
I'm pretty sure I made the exact same prediction last year. It was right last year. He's got the job security with the long-term contract. I'm going to just ride it out.
Well, what you're basically saying, too, is that would be kind of a stamp of approval for his player development in this year, if he does that. Because if he does poorly with player development this year, and the young guys, it all goes awry, and his system's not working and everything, you gotta look long and hard in the mirror, getting someone, you can't delay your rebuild by another year, you know, if your guys aren't responding to your coach. So, that's the case, you're thinking that Fred's player development is probably going to go well this year.
Yeah, I think it's gonna go well enough that they're gonna decide, okay, we're not gonna need to make a change right now.
That's good. You beat me last year in bold predictions, I think like 3-2 or something like that.
Yeah, there were a couple that were kind of gray area.
Yeah, I didn't do a great job. I had several subjective ones, like, will the Bulls medical staff mess up? I think I said something about Fred distancing himself from the front office, which I don't know if you get like a half point for that or something. I don't know if you get a half point for the Bulls. Bulls medical staff didn't mess up. They had a pretty good year, didn't they?
Right now, I think we're okay.
Yeah, they have.
Even like there's been a
they
couple.
They got Dwayne Wade ready for the postseason in the 2-0 series lead in fine fashion.
Even after he had the elbow thing.
Yeah, his elbow was broken. He came back earlier than we thought. You know what I mean? Like, big year for the Bulls doctors. Nice job by the training staff. So you got me on that one probably, but I need to fight back this year. You know what I mean? Got to come back on bold predictions and tie it up because I think you got me last year, but we did want to share some of the listener submissions.
There were some good ones.
Henry via Twitter. Antonio Blakeney will start at one point this
That's
season.
A good one.
Two-way contract D-League guy Antonio Blakeney. G-League. Just as G-League. just as a reminder for everyone.
Yeah, and I mean, you get 45 days in the NBA as part of the two-way contract in terms of, like, you know, the parameters of the contract. So he's going to get – there are going to be some times maybe there's an injury to one of the other guards. Maybe, like, they need some bodies before LaVine comes back in the backcourt.
Yeah,
he's going to get some time.
Doesn't this have all the feel, like you said, of, like, Dunn or Grant rolling an ankle?
Sure.
And the Bulls having had a road game the night before, playing the second of a back-to-back at home on, like, a Friday night. And they're off, like, they're in an 8-game losing streak, and their offense is just doing
nothing.
And
they're just like, oh, let's try
night.
Something.
And they're like, get Antonio down here from Hoffman Estate. Get him over here. And then Fred's just like, yeah, we just needed to shake it up. Like, he's been really impressive in practice, so we're going to start him. Like, that, just as nonchalant as that, like, we'll find out, like, 90 minutes before tip. Didn't
well, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of in January when, like, half the team had, like, the flu. On that East Coast trip at Madison
yes.
Square Garden, Hoiberg was like, yeah, we're going to start Zipser. And Zipser played like 40 minutes of garbage time at that point. We were all just like,
and
wait,
Zipser's
what?
Like, what?
And half the New York reporters, like
didn't
half the like, Knicks reporters were like, wait, is that a real person? Like, what the hell is a Paul Zipser? Like, I've never heard of that. And then he starts the next like 5 games in a row. Like, so you think it might be like that.
Yeah.
I could see it. I like that prediction.
I do. I do. That was excellent.
That was solid.
Scruffy said, Lauri Markkanen will come in second in Rookie of the Year voting.
I want to know who he thinks comes in first. He didn't specify.
Lonzo Ball, of course.
See, my pick is actually Dennis Smith.
God help
Dallas.
The Bulls as it relates to public perception if Dennis Smith wins Rookie of the
Year. I got two guys that I got ahead of Lonzo. I got Dennis Smith, and I got De'Aaron Fox.
Nah, I'm not. The
I like De'Aaron Fox.
The Kings are not organized enough, don't have their stuff put together enough to actually make that happen in that case. Edwin, via Twitter, says, Bulls will go winless for an entire month.
That's not a bad prediction.
You think that would mean like a 15 game losing streak?
I could see it. Or unless it's April and they only play like 5 games that month.
Yeah, and they play 5. I mean, they could start 0-5 if they don't beat the Hawks at home in their fourth game of the season. They're probably going to start 0-5 for October, but they did win a exhibition game and it's an abbreviated first month, obviously.
Right.
February's another month, you know. Because
of the All-Star break, yeah.
Yeah, they only have 10 games in February, and Timberwolves at home, Wizards at home, Magic at home, Raptors at home, 76ers at home. A couple of those are winnable. The other 5 on the road, I could see them losing, certainly. So I would say it's in play. It's in play. Let's go through the April schedule for fun. Wizards, Hornets, Celtics, Nets at home, at Nets, Pistons at home.
So except for Brooklyn, I think those are all teams that are going to be like fighting for playoffs.
Yeah,
season, so.
I think they'll split with Brooklyn there. That's the only catch. I think that. But yeah, interesting, certainly. Thomas Roberts, this is out there. Nico will make the All-Star team.
I think Nico will not make the All-Star team. I think that might be hotter than my beat the Cavs 4 times.
The only thing Thomas has going for him there is that the East lost Paul George, Carmelo Anthony,
Jimmy Butler, and Paul Millsap,
4 All-Star caliber All-Star
front
players.
Court guys, and they only got one in Gordon Hayward.
Yes, so there are spots open. The East is going to be bad. We heard Nick Batum's out at least 6 weeks, maybe
yeah.
up to 12, with an elbow injury. That's another guy that not a perennial All-Star by any means, but a logical
guy who would be in the mix in
to
this
slide
East.
In after all these trades, like. If Nico shoots lights out and somehow averages 20 points per game while Levine's out, like, I don't know, crazier things have happened.
I don't think a team that bad is going to have an All-Star.
Yeah, like, I can see the window through the crack through which maybe that could happen, but no, he's got to just prove that he can consistently, like, score 14 points a game.
I'm out. I think that take is hotter than my Cavs go beat the Cavs 4 times take.
I like this one from Anthony via email, and you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Bobby Portis will lead the team in 3-point percentage. That's your boy. Assess it.
That's a good one. That's a good one. He's going to be getting them up, certainly.
I think Zach LaVine, like, look, he's proved he can shoot at a 39, maybe 40% 3-point clip. The problem is he's going to have the ball in his hand a lot later.
He's also
going
to have to take some time to get back to where he was after the injury.
Doesn't have Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns drawing attention. I think he's going to be the guy whose shooting percentage is several points lower every single season here in the next couple of years, just because he's the go-to guy and someone has to shoot the bad shots at the end of the shot clock. So I could definitely see him not leading the team in 3-point percentage, despite probably being The best, I mean, who's the Bulls' best pure shooter? It's probably Lowry Markkanen.
It's probably Lowry Markkanen, but we don't know if Markkanen's going to play enough as a rookie to
qualify.
Right. Yeah, I think I could see the probably, but the other possibility here is Denzel.
Oh, that's
he's going to be getting shots up.
Yeah, but Denzel like has no filter on his shots. Like he shoots bad ones, so like Denzel can go out and shoot like 10 great 3-pointers, good decisions, and make 5 of them. And then shoot 4 really dumb ones, just like fadeaways with 23 or on the shot clock on, I guess, 22 on the 21 on the shot clock, as he's coming out of something. Like, I could see that. Bobby was better than people realized last year. He was up there. I'd have to check the stats again from last year, but he was higher than you actually thought. Echo Foxtrot on Twitter says, Cristiano Felicio wins the most improved award.
That's a reach. Usually the person who wins most improved isn't on a team as bad as the Bulls.
Yeah, and they're like borderline, not all-star maybe, but at least within a stone's throw of the all-star game. Like Jimmy, when he won most improved, went to the all-star game.
Yeah.
That year. That was his first year. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times they're in the all-star mix, and I don't see
any scenario. Who were the last couple been? Giannis, CJ McCollum. Those are all guys who are significantly better players than... I mean, usually with the most improved thing, and I hate this award, but like...
Hater.
What it usually is somebody who was already that good but just got more minutes.
Okay.
Is usually what it is. I don't think Felicio, as much as I like him and as much as he's my guy, like I don't see him getting either the minutes or the production to actually be in the mix to win that award.
Matt via email says, the Bulls' longest losing streak of the season will be 12.
That sounds reasonable.
I could see that. That could be in my 2-18 stretch prediction. In the first month of the season in November.
So what if they win their opening night game and then there's like, oh, are the Bulls actually better than people think they were for like one day and then it's like, nope.
Like when the White Sox had a better record than the Cubs at the end of April and everyone's like, whoa, what's going on?
Or when last year's Bulls started out 3-0 and it's like, oh, the three alphas are contenders now.
Well, we didn't get ahead of ourselves there. We just
got a little carried away with like...
The Bulls being bad.
The unexpectedness.
No, I mean, if Bulls play really good basketball for 3 straight games, the podcast and stories are going to reflect a positive tone. Like, that's the only thing they did at that point. If they go 3-0 this year, too, like, we'll talk about the good basketball we played, or they played in those 3 games that we talked about. And I think we all kept the big picture in mind. I don't think, like, we wavered on our Bulls will be around 500 prediction at any point last year. We said, sure, if they play that good of basketball all year, they could get closer to 50 wins. But we didn't expect that in the long haul. I like this one, too, from Daniel Foy. Nico and Denzel combined to shoot more 3-pointers than the Splash Brothers. Not make more, but shoot more.
I mean, are we just factoring in the fact that the Warriors are probably not going to play any of those guys in the fourth quarter for a lot of games because they're going to beat teams by 30. That's a possibility.
I think Daniel Foy factored everything in. I think he spent at least an hour and a half researching the likelihood of this.
Before sending us this email?
Yeah, that's what I expect. I could see a very outside chance of that happening if Nico and Denzel play well and land in the starting lineup nightly for close to 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like I just said, Denzel doesn't have a filter. Actually, I just looked it up just to confirm. Steph shoots 10 threes a game. Klay's close. That's
a bold prediction.
Even last year with KD, he shot 10 a game.
That's a bold prediction.
That's bolder than I thought. I thought Steph might have been around 8.5 a game, which I could see Denzel or Nico shooting per night if they land in the starting lineup. But no. No, that's not going to happen. I like the thought process behind it. I do. What else we got here? Ed says the Bulls will go 30-52. That's
high.
That's why it's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I think that's too high. I think I'm still like hovering around 23, 24, 25 is my win total prediction.
Okay.
We'll do an actual win total prediction like opening night.
Yeah, we will. Wrap it up with listener submissions. Drake says Nico will lead the Bulls in scoring.
Is he going to play enough?
Yeah, play enough. He'll qualify. Problem is Zach LaVine will play
enough,
too.
I'm just worried Bobby's going to take the starting spot from him and he's not going to get enough minutes in the rotation. Or maybe
Marketing
has a breakout.
That's your worry why Nico can't lead the Bulls in scoring? That's your worry why he can't get up to 20 points is the fact that Bobby's going to replace him. Mine is that he's done nothing when he does play at any point in his NBA career to showcase 20 points per game scoring ability.
Yeah, I'm a Nico skeptic at this point.
I think everyone
except
on
for
Bulls Twitter is a Nico skeptic besides two of you that
Santa.
Thomas and Drake are Nico believers.
I really hope it was Drake, the...
Hey, everyone's got their thing.
I really hope it was Drake, the rapper, who's, like, secretly a Nico fan and sent us that thing.
No, he's a Justin Holiday fan. Don't you remember that?
Oh,
in
that's
Toronto?
Right, yeah.
Drake whispering into his ear? Not even whispering, like, yelling, screaming, clapping, standing right next to him.
That's right.
Front row seats in Toronto?
Yeah.
Justin Holiday trying to inbound it with the game on the line. I think the Bulls won that game, didn't they? I believe.
Yeah,
they always beat
so.
The Raptors until really recently, the end of last year, so... I think Justin Holiday is the Drake ambassador for the Bulls if they need one, certainly. So there you have it. Bold predictions for your 2017-18 Chicago Bulls. We will keep these. You want to send them to Old Takes Exposed? That's fine. I don't even care. I just preached context for Twitter for a minute-long rant. But I don't even care if you don't send context and tell them it's slightly over-the-top bold predictions. Go for it. Send them to Old Takes Exposed. Maybe we'll screenshot these or put them on Twitter so they're there forever. You know what I mean? But what's next for the Bulls? They play the Bucks on Friday night?
Bucks Friday, Pelicans Sunday.
Yeah, both of them at home. We'll be there.
We'll have episodes post-game.
Hopefully Lauri Markkanen plays Sunday. Doesn't sound like he's going to play Friday right now.
No, because Hoiberg says they want to get him a couple practices. But maybe we'll get a Lauri Markkanen
just
day.
Send him out there. I just want to watch him. I don't care about practice. Yeah. I know they do. Practice is really important for the Bulls right now.
We're talking about practice.
But I just want to see Lauri Markkanen play. So hopefully maybe we'll see that. But until then, as always, follow Sean on Twitter at Hike and myself at Cody Westrell and follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter and Facebook. By its name, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. With basketball questions, advertising inquiries, most of all, please subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere else you can find podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends to subscribe, check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow night after the Bulls home preseason opener. We're going to have some hot analysis of some scintillating preseason action. It's going to be great. Thanks for listening. Check in with us then.